Healthcare Elsewhere, episode 14.
Join us as John Cody shares the inspiring success stories of medical tourism patients and brings you insider tips straight from doctors and healthcare experts around the world. It's time for you to discover a whole new world of safe and affordable healthcare options. Your journey starts now. Welcome to Healthcare Elsewhere.
Hi, everyone. This is John Cody with Healthcare Elsewhere. And today we have another fantastic guest, Ms. Janet Brestier from the company Canadian Best Practice Quality Audits. And basically what they do is they apply the standards from British Columbia and other Canadian government organizations to help outside organizations, basically countries and organizations from outside the country, get their safety standards up to speed so that they're basically, you know, acceptable to the Canadian government so they can get better recommendations for their clientele and their patients. Is that about an accurate assessment, would you say?
Near enough, yeah. They're going to be equivalent to the Canadian standards. I'm not the government. Right. They're going to be equivalent. So,
okay, yeah. Super. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show, Janet. I really appreciate your time, and I know you're really busy. So welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit more detail what it is that you do and who you do it for.
Basically, as you said, I help hospitals and clinics outside of Canada who are seeking medical tourists to raise that safety profile so they're potentially going to attract more clients. And my first introduction to medical tourism was when I was doing quality assurance for the Iobank and Tissue Bank in BC. And there was a conference on in Vancouver, British Columbia, which was facilitated by the Simon Fraser University. And they have a group there that researches medical tourism. And they put on a conference to do with the ethics of medical tourism. So obviously that was very related to that iBank and Tissue Bank quality assurance.
That's very interesting. I'd love to sit down on some of those panels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so basically during the conference, I got speaking to the research group members. And that led us to a couple of projects where we did some research projects together. And I obviously co-authored the papers that went with those. So that was my introduction to medical tourism.
Okay, excellent. So now that you've gotten involved in this was how many years ago approximately?
This was 2012.
Okay, so fairly recently. Great. And so how, you know, what types of issues specifically are you addressing with regard to safety then?
Well, basically it was when I was doing the research for the conference in 2012, I was presenting one of the papers that we'd written with the FSU group. And I was actually looking to see about what data there was to do with the safety of foreign medical facilities, you know, because you're looking at websites and it's looking wonderful, five-star hotel, this, that, and that. But yes, when does it actually say anything about the safety, you know? And I couldn't find anything really to do with the safety. It was all, you know, stories about how wonderful the facilities were. And what I actually do here in Canada is I work in patient safety and quality assurance. And I facilitate, coordinate audits in 176 sites in British Columbia, where we basically apply the BC Ministry of Health best practice guidelines to do with cleaning, disinfecting, and sterilizing surgical instruments. And I thought if I could apply those best practice standards to the medical facilities outside of Canada that are trying to attract Canadians, I think we'd all have a better idea of how safe those facilities were. And, you know, as I say, this is a mandatory requirement in BC and in several of the other provinces across Canada have very similar best practice standards.
Interesting. So now, I mean, obviously having the standardization and being able to kind of speak the same language from a safety perspective is great. And I love the fact that you're going out there and doing that and helping companies with that. Are you finding that, I mean, we talked a little bit before the interview about JCI, the Joint Commission International, and some of the qualifications and certifications that they have. And that's something that a lot of our patients or people that are listening to the show are looking at. So this is something in addition to that, that are helping Canadians to make a better and more informed decision about the safety of where they're going?
Yeah, and basically when you're looking at JCI, ACI, they're looking at the whole facility and they're usually looking at hospitals. You know, they're looking at the bigger facilities, where I find that a lot of the medical tourism facilities, they're smaller clinics. They might have one operating room, or even dentists. You know, there's a lot of dentists that are looking at medical tourism. And so when you're looking at those smaller facilities, they're not necessarily going to get involved in those bigger organizations for accreditation because there's a huge cost involved in
it. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so what I'm looking at is this very specialized area in a surgical facility that is the area that cleans, disinfects, and sterilizes the surgical instruments. And what we particularly look at are two levels of instrumentation. One is called critical medical devices, and they're basically the devices that go into sterile cavities or the circulatory system. And the other one is the semi-critical devices. And they're devices that you would have on intact skin or mucous membrane. So if you had an ultrasound and they were putting the probe on your skin, or anything to do with anesthesia or respiratory, that's mucous membrane things. So they're the two levels we're looking at, which are the highest levels of potential risk when it comes to reusing devices. So we're looking at those very specialized areas, not the whole facility, because that if that area is not right, that's when you're going to get into problems.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. Absolutely. So, can you expand on that a little more and tell us a little bit more about your story and the story of your company and what you're doing now?
So basically, after I had that aha moment, I was thinking, okay, well, how can I do this? And, you know, what's the best way to go about it? And I contacted the Ministry of Health here and I explained to them what I wanted to do. And they basically gave me permission to apply the audit that we apply here, which is 356 questions. As I say, very specific to those to that area.
Wow, that's and, a lot of questions.
Oh yeah, there's an awful lot goes on in there. These are not just people doing the washing up in the basement. This is and that's the thing again as a profession. You know, it's the people that do the reprocessing of traditionally just been in the basement. No one takes much notice of them. But these days, the medical devices are so much more sophisticated, so much more complicated. These are actually trained professionals. And, if they don't do it right, everything goes wrong. It's that kind of domino effect. So basically, the Ministry of Health said, yes, I could have permission to use this. Obviously, I'm not the Ministry of Health. I'm looking at an equivalent. I'm applying the same audit and saying that they are equivalent to the Canadian standards. And the other thing about these standards is that a third of the world takes Canadian healthcare as the lead for standards for healthcare. So, you know, if you benchmark to Canadian standards, you're doing a very high benchmark. So,
yeah, excellent. So, those are all very important, interesting things that you're talking about. And, you know, it's kind of a lot of the things people just kind of take, well, is it going to be safe? And they hope for the best and they assume that JCI accreditation is going to be the end all. And I mean, it's a great place to start, but not everyone is going to go do that, like you just explained. And I appreciate the fact that you kind of, you know, explain the differences and how all that all works and what the detail and the importance is there. So you're providing some specific services to these companies. Do you want to get into some more detail about exactly what it is that you're doing to help, you know, basically the medical tourism facilitation?
Yeah, so basically when we go there and we provide the audit, and obviously they're aiming for 100%, you know, compliance. If the facilities don't get 100% compliance, then we can work with them on the opportunities that have been identified. You know, usually it's things like the paperwork, the policy and procedures. There might be some staff education missing somewhere or quality assurance planning. They're the things that are usually wrong. And so we can work with the site and help them to develop these in their site. And this is an annual audit. It's something that has to happen every year to maintain that equivalency here, because it's what we do every year here. So we work with them ongoing to make sure, you know, that they are still keeping up with those standards. It's not just a one-off. Here's your certificate. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Here's the certificate. You've done really well this year. We're going to see you next year.
So, all right. Excellent. And how many of them are following up and continuing with that accreditation?
Well, as I say, this is a fairly new country, so it's baby steps at the moment. But everyone that enrolls in the program, that's part of enrolling in the program. You have to continue. You can't just get it once and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And, if someone doesn't have the audit the next year, then the requirement is they have to take down the certificate and remove all notice of it from their site.
Oh, good. So you guys are tracking that. That's important. All right. Excellent. Okay. So how does the, you know, what you do affect the average medical tourist? Well, what is what's the benefit to the average person who's looking to travel overseas or abroad somewhere to get medical treatment?
Well, I think basically people are looking for points of familiarity. You know, you might pick the country that you're going to. You're looking for a culture that you feel comfortable with. You're looking for a language that you're comfortable with, and you want to feel safe. So if you're going somewhere and you know that they have the equivalent of the Canadian healthcare standards there, you're going to feel that, yeah, this is going to meet the expectations for safety and cleanliness. And as I say, you know, Canadian healthcare standards are very highly recognized throughout the world. And so this, it won't just apply to Canadians. Other people will say, oh, they've got Canadian equivalency. They're going to be a really good place. And so it gives people more to look about on the websites, because obviously that's where most people do their searching for medical tourism sites. They're looking on the internet and they want to see something that's familiar, you know. So if there's something that shows that there's a certificate from somewhere that they recognize, somewhere that they're familiar with, then that all helps them on their choices, you know. And as I've said before, you know, if you don't get the 100%, you know, we work with people. We do have, you know, two other certificates that are the 90 and the 80%, because obviously that's still very high standard. But nothing below that gets a certificate from us. So.
Okay, great. So, you know, as far as you know, you mentioned this concept of familiarity, and I agree that that's very important. It's part of the safety aspect. People feeling like, you know, they're getting involved with something that is legit and above board, and that it's been well experienced and traveled by other people before them, and that there's some kind of accreditation. So, what other types of issues? What other issues are coming up with familiarity? What else are people looking for? Do you think as they're doing the research on this sort of thing?
Well, I think especially with Canadians, we like to go somewhere that another Canadian has told us about. We like that referral. We like
word of mouth, yeah.
That's it. Who's been there? What was it like for you? You know, that kind of personal touch. And the fact that either myself or my auditors have been to these sites when we conduct the audits, and we're looking with that Canadian eye, you know, we're looking at the facility with that Canadian eye. I think that adds to that familiarity with people. And we conduct our audits in English. Most of Canadians speak English. You know, what we feel is that the sites are saying that, you know, this is a good place for you to come. So there should be someone there that speaks English fluently enough for us to be able to conduct our audit. And if we can conduct our audit, then they can talk to the patient. So when we're going around and auditing, we expect either the staff to speak English or to have a translator with us that, you know, can translate with the staff. So that when we're talking to the staff during the audit, we can see that, as I say, they're not just washing up. These are people that are involved. They've got the attention to detail. They know why they're doing it and how important their job is. And so that attention to the language is very important as well, to know that in the facility, there's people that will speak that common language.
Sure. And I really appreciate you bringing up the language issue. We've covered this many times before in the interviews, and that's one of the things that's really important. If someone wakes up in the middle of the night and they're in this facility and they need help with something, they're having some kind of problem and they call for somebody, they need to know that there's going to be someone who speaks their language that's going to be able to help them and not just understand, their particular language, in this case, English, but understand the nuances of exactly what it is they're talking about, or get someone there quickly who can help cover their issue or their situation. And so I'm glad that's something that you folks are taking a look at as you're going through your certification process.
Oh, definitely. And it's talking to the frontline staff where you really get that feel about what's going on. Because, you know, you can talk to someone in an office and they can say yes, yes, yes. But when you start walking down through the floor and through the department and you see what's going on and you start talking to staff, and, you know, we look at things, you know, a lot of the machinery has to have a printout to say it's gone through the cycle, you know, and we'll say to people things like, can you tell us what's on this printout? What are you looking at? And you don't want that kind of deer in a headlight look from people.
Sure.
You want that, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, I'm signing off because I'm convinced that, yes, it's been through the whole cycle and hit all the parameters. And, you know, if you can't speak the language, you're not going to get those kind of in-depth answers.
Sure. And, you know, you bring up a valid point there, too. I mean, as far as when people are going over there, they're, you know, they're having their experiences, you guys are doing your certification. Is there anything involved with any of this that has to do with, you know, are you getting feedback from patients that's part of the certification process, or would that be something that's completely different?
I think that as the people get more used to what we're doing and see the certificate, then we'll get more kind of feedback from people. But at the moment, you know, as I say, it's a new business. And so people are still kind of coming to terms with that. And also a lot of people looking for medical tourism sites, you know, they're not quite sure what they're looking for. And it's only that word of mouth and, oh, have you seen this? And did you see this place has got that? You know, it's those kind of things. And then we'll get the feedback from there.
Sure. Okay. So can you talk to a little bit as far as where you're going and getting these certifications done? What kinds of what countries, where are people typically approaching you to get their certification from?
So basically what we're looking at the moment is from Vancouver, lots of people go into Mexico and Costa Rica, so the flight pattern here. And from Toronto, people go to the Caribbean because it's easier to go to the Caribbean. And there's some medical tourism sites there. And then, of course, in British Columbia, we also have a large East Indian population. And so you have people that would go back to their country where they have relatives.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And so it's very diverse. But at the moment, we've been concentrating, as I say, on the things like Mexico, Costa Rica. Last year, I was in Barbados looking at a site there. So, yeah, it's because of that Toronto-Caribbean connection.
Sure. So are you finding, and you know, from the people that you're talking to, as far as I understand, you're mostly dealing more with the business side of the aspect of it, but are you finding that they're talking about people are coming out for the tourism aspect of it as well, or do they typically travel, do their surgery, their procedure, and then come right back? What's kind of, what are you hearing out on the front lines about that sort of thing?
I think it's a bit of both. And of course, there's the more advertising these days, you know, your companion can play golf while you're getting your knee fixed, you know, so that you can get up to speed to beat them next time. But yeah, there's it's mostly the people that are going for the tourism, and then they, whoever comes with them, obviously the more that can parallel a vacation for that person, but also that they're still going to give the care to them. You know, you don't want them off having a wonderful holiday and then not actually caring for the person that they're with. So that's the downside sometimes of some of the caregivers is they're not actually paying attention to what they should be doing there, because there should be a caregiver. So
yeah, sure. Okay.
The Onwards Medical Breakthrough of the Day, spanning the internet to bring you a constant variety of cutting-edge medical procedures and treatments worldwide.
All right, today's very cool Onwards Medical Breakthrough is entitled Low-Cost 3D Printed Hand Suits Man for Daily Needs. There's a video attached to this. It's really cool. Basically, it's about a company called 3D Universe and a gentleman by the name of Jose Delgado, who is 53 years old and was born without most of his left hand. And he's been giving very positive feedback on this 3D printed prosthetic hand that was made for about $50. What was really cool was because this $50 hand worked in some ways better than the $42,000 prosthetic hand that had been created for him previously. So you can find the article at healthcareelsewhere.com, along with other links to other interesting Onwards Medical Breakthroughs. And now back to our interview. So as far as this, and this may not pertain to your particular business, but one thing we always ask about is aftercare. Is there any part of the certification process that involves their communication with the patient once they come back and travel to their home country?
We're not particularly looking into that aspect of it. The part of it that would be to do with aftercare is obviously is that they don't have an infection when they come back, because that's the thing, you know, that we're trying to prevent, is that there's no surgical site infection.
Right.
You know, so...
Okay. And are you finding, I mean, when you're looking at all these different places and locations, obviously everyone's going to be different, even in, you know, between in the same country, in Canada or in the US or in Europe or in Asia, wherever you are, you're going to see varying infection rates and things like that. Are you seeing any kinds of trends in any particular direction that are worrisome to you or that you see over and over and over again? Or does it seem like medically, you know, or just kind of globally that this is an issue that's been fairly well taken care of?
there's not really any statistics that you can pin down for this kind of thing, you know, and certainly nothing that you can easily track that to do with the infection rates and things like that. It's not a visible statistic.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So what is it that's happening now in the business? What's one thing that's really exciting you in your business right now and what you folks are working on with helping to get people certified?
I think the exciting thing at the moment is that I'm going to be part of a delegation from Canada that's going to a conference in Miami that's being facilitated by ProMed, which is the Council for International Promotion of Costa Rica Medicine.
Okay.
And I met several people from Costa Rica last year when I was at the Medical Tourism Conference. So I'm excited to meet up with them again at this conference in May. And it seems like every third person I talk to in Vancouver seems to be talking about Costa Rica. So it's very timely. It's very timely. So, so I'll be talking to them about the audit programs and that. And basically, you know, it's that win-win situation for people that the facilities get to show off the excellence and expertise that they have. And potential clients can be assured that the facility, you know, has been audited and found to be equivalent with Canadian best practice standards.
Super. Okay. So let me ask you this then. How about if someone is seeking surgery overseas, if it was, you know, your family member or someone that was asking you personally for this recommendation, what would be three questions that you would tell them to ask of the facility or the doctor that they're going to see to make them feel more, to make you feel comfortable that they'd be making the right decision?
Definitely, I'd want to know that the surgical practices were equivalent to Canadian standards because there is a lot of variety out there. And then also, you know, what criteria was used to measure those standards? You know, what were they actually measuring it against? And then, you know, how can you be sure that it was done? You know, what kind of a certificate or something can they show you that shows this was done and when it was done? Because obviously you need it to be done in a timely manner. You can't say, oh, I've got this certificate here that says something, but it's 10 years old.
Because, you know, that's not going to fly, right?
It's not going to fly. You know, things change in healthcare so quickly, and definitely, you know, in different facilities, there could be a change in management or something. So you don't want to be looking at something from a previous management. You want to look at something that's current and timely.
Okay. I mean, as you're going through and obviously you're getting to see a lot of these facilities, are you finding a lot of more cutting edge types of things that people are traveling for? Or is it really more the traditional types of things like orthopedics and or maybe cancer or something like that? You have any kind of feel for what the Canadians typically seem to be going for?
No, I think it's you know, it depends, you know, different times and different seasons. You see different things happening, or there might be something that's been in the media and then you get a flurry of activity. But I think most people that I've spoken to, it's to do with the waiting list, and they don't want to wait. As I say, they want to go and get their knee fixed and they don't want to wait 2 years or something like that. So it's that kind of thing. I haven't really spoken to many people about the plastic surgery side of something, which is, of course, another huge element of medical tourism.
Sure. Yeah, we actually interviewed another facilitator from inside of Canada who had a patient who had, you know, exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't a cost issue for him because obviously in Canada it's subsidized and it's paid for and it's taken care of. But in his case, he was getting these massive migraine headaches and he just could not get rid of them. And so it was going to be a 1 year wait or so to see a neurologist or some kind of specialist. And so he actually approached this individual about getting sent to somewhere else so that, you know, down in the United States so they could check him out, because he was barely making it through life. I mean, he had these just incredibly crushing migraine headaches, and they finally figured out what the issue was, and we'll talk about it in that episode. But essentially, what happened was they took care of the issue. He went back home, and this was a couple months later, and then about 18 months or 2 years later, I forget what it was, he finally got a call from his primary care physician, I believe it was, and said, hey, we got your consult ready to go. You can go see your doctor now. And, you know, no system is perfect, obviously, but when you're in pain and you need treatment right away, this is a great option for people to go out and take a look at, as long as they know that, you know, it's been well accredited and certified and everything else. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on the show, is because that aspect of it is so important. I mean, if I don't think the money aspect of it is important to some people, obviously it needs to be affordable, but if it doesn't feel like it's safe to them, then they're just not going to do it, right?
Yeah, and as I say, you know, as Canadians, we really like to go places where someone else has told us, you know, someone else has been, something that's someone that's familiar with the kind of things we're familiar with. You know, we like that kind of reassurance. So,
yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us, are there any particular books or internet resources that you could recommend? And we'll put these on the show notes at healthcareelsewhere.com so that people can, you know, click on them. But are there any particular places that you recommend that they go to take a look at to help do some of this research and help them make their decision?
Well, I find that the Simon Fraser Research Group, they have some great stuff on their website. They've written many, many papers and been to various countries, and they're a very unbiased group, right? So they're independent researchers, and they have different information sheets on different countries. They've got information sheets, you know, about people returning from, you know, from outside of Canada to back to Canada. So that's a very good site. They've got a lot of stuff on there. There's also a website in Vancouver called Finding Healthcare, and it's set up. It seems to be like an independent site that's been set up where people can, as I say, reference places that they've been, talk about their experience that they had when they were there. So that seems to be quite a good kind of reference site as well. There's also a book, Patients Beyond Borders, Everyone's Guide to Affordable World-Class Medical Tourism. I think there's a new version out in 2012.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I noticed that I was actually looking at their website the other day at someone's recommendation, and I think they had originally published that in 2008. I'm glad to know that there's an update. That's awesome.
Yeah, 2012. I looked the other day, and it wasn't actually available on online, but definitely there is a 2012 version. So I don't know whether they were just out of it at the moment or something, but definitely there's that. And then, of course, there's the Medical Tourism magazine. And then, you know, we were talking about Costa Rica, and there's a great Medical Tourism Directory Costa Rica, and they list, you know, everyone that's in Costa Rica that is you know, a potential site for medical tourists. That's a good directory.
Sure. And, you know, you mentioned findinghealthcare.com too. That's interesting. I haven't been to that website myself, but the fact that it sounds like people are leaving stories and kind of sharing information and everything else, I think the social aspect of this is almost as important. I mean, obviously, you know, what you're doing is incredibly important. People need to understand that these places are accredited and that they're safe and that you've gone through all of these. You made them, you know, basically jump through the hoops to make sure that, hey, they are actually, you know, clean and safe and everything's good to go. And I think part of the making it over that hump of the decision of wanting to go and deciding to go has to do with, you know, basically knowing that other people have done it exactly like you talked about. They feel that they've seen other success stories. And that's one of the reasons why we started this program, was to give people, you know, basically some of those inspiring stories, but also, you know, the other aspect of it, the medical side and the, and not just the, hey, wow, that's really cool, that really went really well. But we want to know that there's, you know, organizations behind all of this who are supporting and backing and making sure that everything is properly accredited and everything else. So I think what you're doing is fantastic. You know, and it's funny to mention too about the book. We're actually talking about creating a book out of all of these podcast interviews to help, you know, for some people just aren't into the podcast or the show, whatever, they'll be able to buy it in book form. But the whole point of it is that, you know, anything that we can do to help promote the industry and help people understand that this option is available to them and that they have the capability to travel somewhere else to get this is really important to us. And that's the whole reason why we started this. So I want to thank you again very much, Janet, for coming on the show. In closing, can you tell our listeners how they can connect with you and find out more about you?
Well, there's my website, Canadian Best Practice Quality Audits. I think you're going to show the link on the...
certainly will.
Okay. And I did an article last year for the Medical Tourism magazine where I talk about, you know, the importance of having sterile instruments, you know, and it was called Yes, Our Instruments Are Sterile. And so that just gives some background to, you know, what I do and the principles that we're looking at in Canada there. One of the papers that I co-wrote with the Simon Fraser Group was to talk about the ethical and legal implications of the risks of medical tourism for patients. So basically, we were looking at a quantitative study of Canadian health and safety from the health and safety representatives' perspective. So that was an interesting research project. And then one of the other papers that we did was understanding the health and safety risks for British Columbia's outbound tourists, you know, so there's other things that can go wrong, you know, when you're an outbound medical tourist. So it's not just, you know, things that might happen at the site. So that's something else, again, and that would be through the Simon Fraser Medical Tourism Research website. There, all the papers are on there.
So. Okay, great. Yeah, and those are the kinds of things that, I mean, whether you're Canadian or not, doesn't matter what country you're from, I mean, they're great resources to kind of get you pointed in the right direction of the right questions that you should be asking to make sure that you're making, you know, the right decision for you before you decide to travel and trust your health, you know, in another country. So, great. Okay. Well, again, Janet, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it. Can't believe we've already burned through a half an hour that fast, but we really appreciate you having on the show. We'll go ahead and get all these show notes, all the links and everything that we talked about will be on the show notes page at healthcareelsewhere.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you all tomorrow on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Healthcare Elsewhere. Has this episode left you inspired, wanting to take action right now? Good news, the Healthcare Elsewhere community is growing by the minute, and it's already filled with other people who are excited to finally get the treatment they deserve. You can join us at facebook.com/healthcareelsewhere, and we'll see you next time on Healthcare Elsewhere.